Now in our study today, we're still in the book of Genesis, and we have reached chapter 44. Now this chapter could be named the chapter of the concealed cup, and the following chapter, chapter 45, will be the chapter of the revealed brother. So here we have the chapter of the concealed cup. In this chapter, we reach the final stage of the trial and testing of Joseph's brethren to see if there has been any change in their attitude toward the brother whom they hated, the brother whom they sold for 20 pieces of silver. Remember, 22 years have passed since then, and we're wanting to see now if the treatment meted out to them is having the desired effect. Before we look at some of the verses, let us bow just for a moment of prayer. Our Father, as we turn again to Thy Word, we would ask of Thee that Thou wilt look down in mercy upon every listener today, and by Thy Holy Spirit help us to understand the lessons from Thy Word, that we may put them into practice, that we may know what it is that Thou art teaching us. And so remember each one today with their variety of needs. Look upon the face of Thine anointed at Thy right hand today, and for his sake, command a blessing upon Thy people. We ask it in His precious name. Amen. Now, as you go down through this chapter, I suggest here are some of the things you could take note of. In the first five verses, you'll learn there something concerning Joseph's plan. Joseph works to a plan that's well thought out. Verses 6 through 17, you could label that his brethren's predicament. Then verses 18 through 34, Judah's plea. Now let us look at Joseph's plan, the first five verses of the chapter. And he, that's Joseph, commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money." And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, "Up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh? Whereby indeed he divineth, ye have done evil in so doing." Now let us pause there for a moment. Joseph was working to a well thought out plan. The sons of Jacob would have been quite happy to return home with all their blessings, yet without knowing the true character of the blesser. But Joseph had other plans and purposes, and these must be carried out. Now I want you to keep in mind that Joseph's objective in all the treatment that he meted out to his brethren was this. He wanted to reach a satisfactory point of reconciliation. And you will remember I have stressed this in previous studies, that reconciliation must be based on righteousness. And he is working to this end. Now get the picture. They have come down for the second time to Egypt. It's corn they want, it's true. And what they were about to receive in Egypt was a blessing to them. They stood in need of corn. No corn, no bread. No bread, they would have to die. There was a great famine in the land. So they would have been quite content to go home, taking Simeon with them, who had been held hostage All the time they were back up at home, now they come on the second visit, and he is restored to them. Then Benjamin would come with them. They'd be quite happy to get back home and take Benjamin home again to their father. And so with their brother Simeon, released from being a hostage, and their brother Benjamin, with no harm coming to him, and they themselves on the way back with their corn, quite happy. Plain words. As I have said, they'd be very, very happy to return home with all the blessings. I wonder how many people today are just like them. They're quite content to accept all the blessings without knowing the blesser. I wonder how many people today enjoy the blessings from God day by day, blessing of food, blessing of clothes, blessing of comforts, blessing of peace and quietness, and all their material needs being met, and yet they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me go a little further than that, my friend. There are other blessings. Some Christians today are quite content with the blessings of salvation, etc., etc., but they don't take time to give thanks to the blesser. You know, it is quite easy to be occupied with our blessings and not to give any time or any thought to the blesser. And now here Joseph has thoughts concerning his brethren. He wants to see them reach the point of complete reconciliation. He's going to reveal himself to them in due time, but there's a certain pathway that must be trod. And so their money was returned. Because, may I suggest, these blessings that Joseph was bestowing upon them could not be bought. Some people, you know, think they can buy God's blessings. No, my friend, there are blessings that God has for you and for me that cannot be bought with this world's money. It's true that we can enjoy material blessings, but you know there are spiritual blessings for God's people. The epistle to the Ephesians tells us, He has blessed us with every kind of spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenlies. And these spiritual blessings are far more important than the material blessings. So their money was returned because these blessings could not be bought from Joseph. Their sacks were filled with food, as much as they could carry. Then, a prized possession, a silver cup, deposited in the sack of Benjamin. Now, I wonder why Joseph put the silver cup, or had the silver cup deposited in Benjamin's sack. He could have put it in Judah's sack and then blame Judah, because after all it was Judah who sold him down into Egypt. He might have put the cup into Judah's sack, then blamed Judah and held him hostage, but that would not have brought them to the desired objective. In fact, it would have defeated the whole cause. Then he didn't put it in Reuben's sack. Reuben was the firstborn. He put it in the youngest one's sack, Benjamin. But remember this, Benjamin was his brother. They were both born of the same mother. They were both born of Rachel. Now, because that Jacob had showed great interest in Joseph, and Jacob honored Joseph, it was because of that that they hated Joseph. Now, Benjamin was the only one that Jacob had left, having been born of Rachel. Now what Joseph is seeking to find out here, will they still have the same animosity towards Benjamin as what they had towards him, that is towards Joseph? So he deposits the cup in Benjamin's sack. Now, would these other brethren accuse Benjamin? Would they forsake him? Would they be prepared to accept their own liberty at his expense? This would be the crucial test. Have you ever thought at the time that the nation rejected the Lord Jesus Christ? They rejected him because they felt that if they did not reject him, they would have been in trouble with the Roman powers. They said, "We have no king but Caesar." And when Pilate asked them, "What will you then that I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" they said, "Let him be crucified." They were quite willing to forsake their Messiah, to reject their Messiah, quite willing to have him put on a Roman cross in order, as it were, to save their own skin, to keep them out of trouble. At least so they thought. Now, away back here in the days of Joseph, acting with his brethren, what a picture. And so he puts the cup in the sack of Benjamin. Now, if you care to read through verses 16 through 17, you'll discover there something relative to his brethren's predicament. First of all, there is the discovery. That is, when the cup was discovered in the sack of Benjamin, it was a sensation and it caused consternation. When the servant overtook them, according to verse 6, he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, "Wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servant should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sack's mouth we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of my Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen." And he said, "Now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless." Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched, and began at the eldest, and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes, and laded every man his ass, and returned to the city. Now notice the discovery then. The cup was discovered in the sack of Benjamin. Now they didn't accept their release, so to speak. They didn't accept their freedom. Here we're faced with their determination. Not accepting their freedom at the expense of Benjamin. A change has been wrought, no doubt, in their hearts. God is beginning to bring conviction to them. Watch what they did now. They rent their garments and decided to return to Joseph's house, although they didn't know at the time that it was Joseph. They thought of him in terms of the Lord of the land. But they decided to return and face the charges with the consequences. Now, let me remind you of something again. God is dealing with these men through Joseph and through the circumstances. You will remember that when one of their number was taken and was kept hostage, I suggested then they began to think. First of all, they had to remember that their brother Joseph had been sold and was taken down to Egypt as a slave. And now here, one of them that was responsible for that is being kept down in Egypt as a hostage. No doubt that made them think. Then you will remember they were all put in ward for 3 days, which would cause them to think of what they did to their brother Joseph just so many years ago. But now here's something else. When they found the cup in Benjamin's sack, they rent their garments. I wonder, when they acted like this, I wonder if their mind went back to that day when, because of the hatred of their heart towards their brother Joseph, how when they took his coat from him, that coat that was given to him by his father, they took his coat of many colors, and they dipped it in the blood of a little animal, and carried it home to their father. I wonder, were they thinking of that now when they took their own garments and rent them? See, it's all coming back to them, isn't it? And now they're going to go down to a strange home, and if they face the consequences. Now watch now the disclosure. Judah at this point becomes the spokesman for the whole company. and openly confesses that God has now revealed the sin that they had committed, which means that they now accept God's verdict against themselves, and now they stand condemned without excuse. Oh, it's interesting to listen to what Judah has to say. Verse 14, "And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, What deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, What shall we say unto my lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my lord's servants, both we, and he also with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. As for you, get you up in peace unto your father. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my lord's ears. Let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My lord asked his servants, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? We said unto my lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidst unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. We said unto my lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidst unto thy servants, Except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. It came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant my father, we told him the words of my lord. Our father said, Go again and buy us a little food. We said, We cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then will we go down. For we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. Thy servant my father said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me two sons. The one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. If ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my grey hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servants, my father, the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. Thy servant shall bring down the grey hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father for ever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my lord. Let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? Ah, you see, they're in a predicament. The great disclosure is this. God has found them out. They've come to the point where they accept God's verdict against them. And then Judah makes his plea. May I suggest to all our hearts today that when we reach the point where we accept God's verdict against us, there's only one thing left, as we stand condemned before God and without excuse. There's one plea. Judah makes his plea. Notice his approach to Joseph. Judah readily acknowledges that he has no rights to approach Joseph, but he recognizes Joseph's position and addresses him as Lord. I wonder, has every one of my listeners today reached that point with regards to God and God's beloved Son, the exalted Christ? After all, we have no rights to approach him. We have no demands that we can make of God, but when we acknowledge his lordship and we bow the knee to him, we can approach God in all humility, and the way of approach is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you notice Judah's appeal to Joseph. He explains in this address how everything pertaining to his father's welfare is bound up with Benjamin. Now you will remember how he was called Benjamin. When that boy was born, his mother called him Benoni, which means the son of my sorrow. His father said, "Oh no, we'll call him Benjamin, the son of my right hand." Now Judah is saying this, that his father's life is bound up in this lad, Benjamin, the son of his right hand. Do you realize, my friend, that all that we are, all that we have, all that we ever hope to be, is bound up in the person of Jesus Christ, who was a man of sorrows, the one who acquainted himself with our grief, and now is the man at God's right hand, exalted there to be both a prince and a savior. All that we have, all that we hope for, is bound up in Christ. But his appeal is based on not causing any further sorrow to his father, and that he has become the surety for Benjamin. Ah, it's lovely to see a man at least accepting this responsibility. You know, the Bible says, if any man is a surety for a stranger, he'll smart for it. Yet in spite of that, he was the very man who in days that were past was prepared to sell Joseph for a few paltry pieces of silver. Oh, what a change has been wrought in this man. Now he's prepared, as it were, to put his arm round Benjamin's neck. He's prepared to take a responsibility for Benjamin. And he says, "I become surety for him." And then there's Judah's alternative offer to Joseph. In this final offer made by Judah, we have an expression of true repentance and something that touched the heart of Joseph. And this leads to the real forgiveness and true reconciliation with all the blessings that follow. But now he's making his offer. He says, "I'll stay here. I'll certainly be a surety for him. I'll take his place. I'll be the substitute. I'll stay instead of the lad. Just let him go. Let him go back to his father so that his father will rejoice in him. I'll be willing to stay here and be the servant." Oh, what a beautiful picture of the offer of substitution. And while it was not accepted by Joseph, Joseph had something better than that in view for him. But nevertheless, at this point, Judah at least makes the offer. He offers to take the place. He offers to accept the place of humiliation. He's willing to become a servant to Joseph. And at this point, he doesn't yet know that Joseph is his brother. The time will come when he will be revealed, and even then Judah will have to acknowledge his guilt. But here we have Judah's plea. He's right in his approach to Joseph. He seems to be correct in the manner of appeal to Joseph. Then he offers his alternative to Joseph, but Joseph has something far better than that. And in our next study, when we look at chapter 45, that is the chapter of the revealed brother, when Joseph shall reveal himself to his brethren.